To get us started this morning on our message, I want to show you an advertisement from way back when I was a kid. And that'll get us started talking about honesty. Remember that commercial? There's a whole series of these commercials. Never let them see you sweat. Now, in my formative years, I thought, well, this must be the secret to success then, is no matter what you're feeling inside, you don't let people know on the outside. Never let them see you sweat. So when I became a pastor at the ripe old age of 23, I thought, this is how you be a successful pastor. Never let on that you're struggling. Always make sure people know you have the right answer. And on and on and on it went. This must have lasted for the first 3 or 4 days. because it's unsustainable. It was unsustainable for me. Not only that, it's not biblical. And we find in Scripture that there is this great encouragement for us to let people see you sweat and to be honest. You know when people are sworn in court ceremonies? You know how this goes, you know? I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole and nothing but the truth. That's right. Have you ever thought about that? All three of those statements. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Each one of those is very important. And this morning, we are going to look at especially the middle one, which is the whole truth. Because you know what? You and I struggle with telling the whole truth, don't we? We're in this tension in our lives between telling the whole truth and simply avoiding lying. And when we think of ourselves as honest people, we quite often think, well, that's what an honest person is. They just avoid lying. That's not how the Bible describes it. And here's what we are going to discover this morning, is that honesty draws people closer. Am I clicking this morning, Marianne? I do. Look at that. Woo. All right. And this is what we're going to learn this morning, is transparency, honesty, tightens trust. And I believe this morning that our relationships in this room, our friendships, our marriages, the relationships we have with our kids, depend greatly on whether we tell the whole truth. And here's the thing, God tells us the whole truth. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. And we're also going to be looking at why we don't tell the whole truth and what we can do about it. Here are some things that you and I often struggle with telling the whole truth. Our joys, our dreams, our failures, our fears, our pain, and our likes and dislikes. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, if you've ever read it, even parts of it, you will discover that God is revealing those exact things about himself. In essence, if I could be so bold as to say, in the Bible, God is spilling his guts to us. And that's because he knows transparency tightens trust. So let's ask the question, what is God transparent about? What does he tell us about himself? And the first thing is, we discover his joys. It says in Jude 24, "Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault." The Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write these words for us to tell us about what brings God joy. And so here's the deal. At the end of all time, when we and the redemption story has all been told, and those of us in this room who have received Christ as their Lord will stand before him, pure, forgiven, clean. And you know what God's response is going to be? Great joy. You know what brings God great joy? You. You do. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, as a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus in this room, have you ever thought you bring God great joy? Let that soak in for just a moment. Now, you'll be thinking, well, I have no problem telling people about my joys. Come on, Pastor, you can do better than that. Ah, wait a second. Because you and I have joys that God does not have. And while you and I might talk about the joys of our children, our grandchildren, and our trips, I mean, our Facebook feeds are full of that kind of stuff. We have no problem sharing that joy. But what about the joys we probably shouldn't have? What about the little joys of kind of being happy when our enemy falls in their face? Can we be honest about those joys? Or when a public figure that we don't really like gets her comeuppance, and we take a little joy in that. Can we be honest about those joys? We struggle because we know those joys are filled with pride and self-righteousness, and so we don't talk about them quite often. But the point is, God shares his joys with us. Another thing that God shares with us is his dreams. Now, does God have dreams? Well, I'm not talking about the nighty-night, make-no-sense type dreams that you and I have. I mean the type of dreams where God looks forward to a future that he wants. You know, you and I might dream about the education we want or the marriage we want or, you know, graduation or something like that. We think of those kind of dreams. But have you ever asked, what does God dream about? What's his ideal future look like? He tells us. He reveals this to us. Looks like this. Hosea 6:6. I want you to show love, he says, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. You can almost get the sense that God's looking off into the distance and he's thinking, what would be a great future for all humankind, all the people in this room? He said, my dream is that you would love people and you would know me. What's God's ideal future? A relationship with him. That's what he wants with you. You understand? He wants you to know him. When God dreams, he's not thinking about vacations. He's thinking about relationship with you and how we treat one another. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Another thing that God shares with us that he's transparent about is his fears. Now, does God have fears like you and I have? No, well, of course not. God's God, right? What's he afraid of? But if there was ever a time, ever a moment where God sensed anything close to fear, it would be in the humanity of Jesus. And the night before Jesus was brutally crucified, we find him praying. And I've used this passage recently, but we'll look at it again from Luke 22. And this is Jesus praying. He says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Now, I'm not sure that this is all just fear that Jesus was experiencing. But here's the important thing this morning, is that he was really struggling emotionally. And what does he do? He invites people to share in that. Now, I'm a guy. Guys don't do this. Hello. Is that not part of our guys' culture?
Right, guys? We don't talk about this stuff.
If we're struggling, we go into our hobbit hole. And we close the door. Jesus, though, was being super transparent. And here's something about telling the whole truth. Jesus didn't invite the crowds to this time. He invited his most trusted allies into that time. That's a lesson for us, by the way. When I'm talking this morning about telling the whole truth, I'm not talking about standing up on Sunday morning and blurting everything in your life out. I'm talking about being transparent about the deepest things to at least someone, your most trusted people in your life. Jesus was so transparent in this moment, so honest. I mean, he cried out in bloody sweat and invited an audience. Think about the transparency. Think about the bravery, the courage that that takes to do that. That's heroic. The idea of never let them see you sweat. Jesus literally invited people to come and see him sweat. Amazing. That's completely amazing. What a secure human being. Next, God reveals his regrets. I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, you struggle with feelings of failure. For me, failure as a husband, failure as a dad. One that's unique to me is failure as a pastor, although some of you might in the audience know what that's about. Failure as a child of God. I struggle with these feelings of failure. Do you? And so I have regrets in my life. Things that I wish I could take back. Things I wish I could do over again. And I can't. Does God have regrets? In a sense. You see, God chose Israel's first king, King Saul. Handpicked him, he did. And then when all was said and done and Saul had his opportunity to do his thing, this is God's commentary. Then the Lord said to Samuel, who was a prophet, he said, "I am sorry. I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command." That's shocking. That's really shocking that we would find this in God's word. God saying, "I'm sorry, I have a regret here." Apparently God doesn't have a no regrets tattoo. That was a joke, you can laugh. But can you talk about your regrets? Do you talk to people about this? About the things you wish you could do again, your failure, how you blew it, your sin. You see, the truth is people keep a distance from those who never admit failure. It's true. And it's easy to gloss over our regret. People don't relate to people who don't talk about their failures. God reveals his regrets to us. Amazing. Another one, his pain. It's amazing that God experiences pain. I'm not talking physical pain. I'm talking emotional pain. And quite often human beings have no problems talking about their physical pain. I mean, you go down to a coffee shop in Nanaimo today, and people will be talking about this joint not working right and, you know, eyesight going. And they'll talk about all kinds of physical pain. But that's not the pain I'm talking about. I'm talking about emotional pain. In the 6th century BC, the nation of Israel was taken captive. And this was quite the experience for God to watch his people being carried away to a foreign nation. And this is what he said: "If only my head were a pool of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for all my people who have been slaughtered. Oh, that I could go away and forget my people and live in a traveler's shack in the desert, for they are all adulterers, a pack of treacherous liars." People often ask, "Where is God when I hurt?" The answer is, he's hurting with us. He's right there with us, weeping with us, weeping over us, weeping at the hurt we have caused ourselves or the hurt that we cause each other. And he even talks about how painful it is to hang around with watching this. And some of us have experienced this. If you love anyone when they are hurting themselves, it's hard to watch. And yet God is saying here, the pain of walking away is greater than the pain of proximity. But God is honest about his pain. You see this over and over in Scripture. There's no cover-up. He's just vulnerable about it. It's amazing. Finally, the last one, his likes and dislikes. Telling people about your likes and dislikes is essential for any relationship. And we may know this up here, and we don't get it in here, because, now I'm going to get letters. Wives, if you have ever told yourself, if my husband really loved me, he would know. I'll tell you something. I'll let you in on a little secret. He don't. And he won't. And this goes the other way around, by the way. If you ever think the other person should be able to assume your likes and dislikes, oh, you're going to be sorely disappointed. We are inept at this. You have to speak what you like and what you don't like, because we can't read minds. And God is up front in his word about what he likes and what he doesn't like, because he already knows we can't read his mind. So he tells us. This is just one little snippet of one of his statements about what he likes and dislikes. Watch how much he's telling us in just these few verses. He says, I hate, that's a strong word, I hate all your show and pretense, he says, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I was going to get into the likes. I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. And you want to know what God does not like? God does not like religiosity. He does not like empty rituals, meaningless holidays. Doesn't like it. What he wants is for us to treat people right and to live according to the standards God has given us. That's what he likes. And he tells us this. And part of talking about your likes and dislikes, by the way, is having the willingness to confront people and tell them, I don't like that. I don't appreciate that. This needs to change. Without confrontation, without being transparent about our likes and dislikes, we set ourselves up for abuse, resentment, despair, and sadness. In all of these things, God is being transparent with us. He's being honest with us. He's telling us the whole truth. Why? Why would he do that? Isn't the answer obvious? God wants relationship with us. He's modeling what relationship looks like. If we're going to have close relationships with each other, it's going to include talking about our likes and dislikes and our joys and our regrets and all of those things. And that's why God offers them out, because a lot of people look at the Bible and go, well, God just wanted to give us the plan for salvation. And he did. But God wants to give us more than the plan of salvation. He wants to give us himself. He's offering himself to you in his word. And so scattered throughout Scripture are these little snippets of God being honest and transparent before us. Isn't that amazing? See, because God knows, transparency tightens trust. It allows us to trust him more. Now, this gets into the question, so if we know this, why aren't we more honest? And I can think, there's probably several reasons, but I can think of four, for sure, the reasons that you and I will skirt around telling the whole truth. You can probably guess some of them right now, but I'll go through the list anyway. Okay, the first one, sin. And along with sin comes shame. We're ashamed of the things we've said, ashamed of the things we've done. Right from the Garden of Eden, way back when, the very first time that human beings sinned, their first response was to hide. They hid. And as the saying goes, you and I have been hiding from each other and from God ever since, because we're ashamed. We don't want to talk about what's really going on inside of us. Second thing is our experience. Some of us have tried this before. Some of us have tried being honest before. And the reaction that we got wasn't what we expected. We got defensiveness, or attack, or blame, or judgment, or pulling away, or anger. And with very specific times, on very specific subjects, this can deeply hurt us. And so our experience tells us, I'm never trying that again. Third is the skills. Some of us grew up in homes where there was very poor translation between what's in here and what comes out here. This is a skill, and it takes practice, by the way. It takes intentionality. It's one of the great skills that you as a human being can have. It gives you great resilience. The more ability that you have to get what's in here out your mouth makes you more resilient and makes you more ready for horrible things that may happen in your life. Just the skills. Now, this is no excuse, by the way, because you have the ability to turn this around. You can't, you know, sit around for decades going, blaming your mom and dad for not modeling this for you. It's up to each one of us to practice, be intentional, put words to feelings. And some of us are better at that than others. And finally, the last one, why aren't we more honest? We're afraid. We're afraid. We tell ourselves if people really knew, they'd stop loving me. They'd reject me. If people only knew what I was really thinking, what I was really feeling, if people really knew what I did back then, I'd be rejected. And so we think, you know, I'd rather have, in our minds, we think I'd rather have a superficial relationship than none at all. All of these things combined make us not want to tell the whole truth. And it keeps people distant from us. It keeps our spouses distant from us, our kids, our parents, family, friends. Keeps them away from us. You can't feel truly loved until you feel truly known. I'll say that again. You can't feel truly loved until you feel truly known. And a lot of us in this room right now, no one really knows us. Maybe not even our spouse. We have kept so many secrets for so long, and it keeps them at an arm's length. A nice, safe distance. But no intimacy. So what can we do? First thing, and there's going to be two things that I'm going to be talking about. The first one is how you can contribute to an honest relationship. And the second one is about how you can create an environment where people are honest with you. Okay? Are you ready? Okay, this is golden stuff, man, I'll tell you. Here we go. Loose the secrets. Now, for those of you who are spelling Nazis, you might think, don't you mean lose the secrets? No, I don't. That's what I originally put. But that's not exactly what I meant. Loose the secrets. Because I see secrets like chains that hold us down. And with every secret that you get rid of, you find more freedom. Some of us in this room right now are bound by so many secrets. Nobody knows us, and we feel desperately unloved. And that to me is sad. And I love you, church, and I want the best for you. I don't want you dragged down by secrets. Secrets about our joys, our dreams, our fears, our failures, our pain, all of that. And if you can find a way to loose the secrets in your life, this is what's going to happen. You are going to become more likable, more relatable, more trustable. I don't know if that's a word, but it is now. And I'll tell you a great place to start. It is the safest of all places to start. When you pray. It is a great place to practice being honest, being transparent. Here's the cool thing. In the Bible are people making all kinds of complaints about God. All kinds. The new atheists today that get so much publicity, they got no new arguments against God. They're already in the Bible. People have had the same complaints about God for millennia. So don't feel like God doesn't have broad enough shoulders to take whatever it is you have to offer. You can be completely honest with God. You can be completely honest about your feelings, your failures, your regrets, your pain, all of it. This is great news. And even better, you can do this anytime, any place. And God is there. It doesn't matter if you're a follower of Jesus this morning or not. God is open to your honesty. Isn't that cool? So loose the secrets. And you know what helps us to loose secrets? Is when we feel truly loved. If we second guess someone's love, it makes us want to hide. If you're not convinced that God really loves you, you will hold back. Because you'll be telling yourself, oh, I don't want God to find out about this, like he doesn't know. But we do this. We do this with our spouse. If we don't feel truly loved by our spouse, by our kids, by our friends, by our parents, the more we'll want to hide. Show me a church where people live in secret. I'll show you a church that is not convinced they are loved. Are you convinced you are loved this morning? It'll make a huge difference in whether you want to loose the secrets or not. Next one. So that's what you can do. And you can decide that right here, right now. You can say, I am not going to live in secret anymore. You can make that decision right now. Say, I want to live my life in a transparent way. Because I want to have real relationships with people. I want to have a real relationship with God. Now, second part is what you and I can do to create an atmosphere where people feel free to be honest with us. That's by being a safe listener. So how do we do that? How do we draw out truth? First of all, you ask for it. You tell people, I want you to be honest. Tell them, I prefer honesty over superficiality. When's the last time you reminded your spouse, I want you to be honest? Your kids, I would rather have you be honest than tell me what I want to hear. Ask for the truth. Because we forget, don't we? Even in our connect groups, you can let people know, hey, I'm open to whatever it is you have to say here. Demonstrate you are safe. When someone says something that is transparent and vulnerable, don't get defensive. Don't be judgmental. Don't be sarcastic or attacking or blaming. Or give them the impression you're more interested in that you're more interested in changing them than in listening. Next is communicate unconditional love. affirm verbally and physically. Don't assume they know. Saying to someone that we care about, I love you, is one of the greatest gifts you can give. It affirms your love for them, and it gives them the license to be honest with you. But how often do we not do that? We just kind of, well, they know. They don't. It's one of those things that leaks. People forget. So you have to remind them again and again, I love you, I love you. I'm a safe listener. You can talk to me. And finally, offer to help. Let them know that they are not alone when the burden is too heavy. Andy, I'm going to get you to come on up wherever you are. There you are. When it came to this list of how to be a safe listener, all I had to do, I didn't just make this up. All I had to do was ask the question, how has God shown to be a safe listener for us? Because here's the thing, when it comes to asking for the truth, this is one of the verses that we read earlier. God inspired the writer. He said, rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. It's like when it comes to our feelings and our failures and all that gook inside, it's like a bucket in each of us. And God is saying, just pour it out. Let him know. Be honest with God. God is a safe listener. He asks for the truth. He demonstrates he is safe throughout the Bible. Like I said, are people complaining all throughout? And God's never defensive. He just lets them complain. He doesn't get sarcastic. He communicates. If I can go back to that list. He communicates unconditional love to us. Throughout his word, he tells us, I love you, I love you, I love you. And finally, his offer to help is the cross. His greatest offer to help, you and I. He said, you're not alone. I'm in this with you. I will come down to earth. I will take care of this for you. He offers to help because God wants to be a safe listener for us. And if you're here this morning and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, I'm going to invite you to be honest with God right now. Because one of the first things anyone who's ever started following Jesus has to be honest about is to say, I have hurt people in my life. I have done wrong things. And I am powerless to stop myself. It speaks about our guilt before God. And it speaks about our powerlessness to stop. And how we need God. We need the cross. God has demonstrated all these things because he wants you to know him. And if we want to really be in relationship with God and with other people, we will look at his example of how he just gave us so many things about himself and was honest about them. God knows. God knows that transparency tightens trust. Will you trust him this morning? Will you live the kind of life that is open about who you really are and what you're really thinking? And will you create an environment in your home, in your friendships, where people feel safe with you and people can talk to you about anything? If you do, your life will change forever. Your friendships will change. It'll be amazing, fulfilling. Your relationship with God will be transformed with honesty. So I invite you to consider this morning making the decision here and now, I will live a life of transparency with God and with others. I'm not asking with everyone, just like Jesus did, just his most closest friends. Let's pray together. Lord, many of us in this room, maybe all of us in this room, have been hiding. Maybe it's been our fear, our shame. Whatever it is, God, we hide. And we don't offer people our whole selves. We don't offer you our whole selves. And sometimes we in this room have created an environment where we have maybe unknowingly sent the message, I'm not safe. I don't want to hear about your honesty. And so we keep people at a distance. We keep you at a distance. Lord, may starting today, there be a new wave of transparency in this church. I think of those, especially this morning, of those in this room who haven't made that step yet, to be really honest with you. Lord, would you help them to sense your love so much that they would be honest with you and trust you. Lord, there's people in this room who, even though they're saved, they haven't experienced your love in a way that makes them completely honest. Lord, may they sense your love this morning. That they would have honest prayers. Lord, strengthen our relationships with you and with the people that we love. We ask it in the name of Jesus, who has the power to transform us and make this happen. Amen. Amen. If you would like prayer this morning, I'm going to invite you to come on forward. There's going to be people here who care about you and who love you, who would love to pray with you. Beyond that, you are all dismissed. God bless you.